a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope for millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity and finds himself in exile in his own land.
What does that say?
None.
What is your name? Can you read that?
Sure.
Well, I can't. Cross it out and write it so I can read it.
Okay.
What does that say?
Louis A. Wright.
Cross it out and write it so I can read it.
I'm done.
No, don't pat me, number one. And number two, you either follow the rules or you leave. Now, get your name on there so I can read it.
They asked for my signature, that's it.
Write your name on here so I can read it.
No, ma'am.
This man is out of here.
We need your name tag.
This man is out of here. He isn't going to follow the rules, he isn't going to stay. You're out of here. Are you the security person? This man is out of here.
Okay.
Sign in here, according to that.
Sit down.
All the way up?
All the way up.
Okay.
In this room.
Yeah.
Thanks. Sign in here, according to ICOR.
Well, I guess I'm over here in the non. I'm not brown. Yeah.
Sit down. Go to meeting room C. Stay there till we're coming for you. Look over your eyes.
Green.
Sign in under brown.
Two gentlemen have one question. The question is, would you want them back?
I don't want them back. I don't want them back. This is not a question of want. If they can come back and conduct themselves according to the rules, they can come back. But I'm going to put them out if they don't follow the rules. It is not their choice.
Okay.
This is not their choice. They either follow the rules or they're out of here. That's the only choice they have.
All right. Thank you.
You want me to tell them that?
No, I can
I'll
tell.
Be perfectly happy to do
no,
it.
I can do it.
Well, Bluey, did you sign
yes.
in? Sit down.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant in there.
Sit. Go to meeting room C and stay there till we come for you. Sit down. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Whether or not you like what's happening here, you either follow the rules or you're out of here.
Got
it. You have a choice. Now, get rid of the gum.
Okay.
Now. There's a wastebasket right back there. Put it in. Well, go to the meeting room C and stay there until I come for you.
Okay.
So you do print. Sit down.
Jan, call. You have a call on line 3. Jan, line 3.
Move your legs. I'd have to straddle your leg. I'm going to warn you. You may be big and you may be tall, but you do exactly what I tell you to today. Do you understand that?
You don't have a problem with that at all.
Good for you.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day...
Yes.
This nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I want every white person in this room who would be happy to be treated as this society in general treats our citizens, our black citizens. If you, as a white person, would be happy to receive the same treatment that our black citizens do in this society, please stand. You didn't understand the directions. If you white folks want to be treated the way blacks are in this society, stand. Nobody's standing here. That says very plainly that you know what's happening. You know you don't want it for you. I want to know why you're so willing to accept it or to allow it to happen for others. The purpose of this exercise is to give these nice blue-eyed white folks the opportunity to find out how it feels to be something other than white in the United States of America. And these people today are going to learn more than they want to know. The purpose of this exercise is to help these people walk in the moccasins of a person of color for a day. What I am going to do is assign to these people, on the basis of their eye color alone, all the negative traits that we have assigned to females, to people of color, to gays and lesbians, to people who have disabilities of any kind, to those who are obviously physically different. We are going to assign to these people all the negative stereotypes that we have so easily assigned to those groups. We are going to lower our expectations for these people, and we are going to force them to live down to our expectations of them.
I wrote my name, she said, now write it so I can read it.
How have they prepared to come in here?
Not at all.
Just they're just sitting.
We just set them into a room in which there are 3 chairs for 17 people. Now,
it's hot in there.
It's hot in there? Is it hot in there? Well, then it's probably smelly, isn't it? Because blue-eyed people sweat a lot, and you know they don't smell good. So I wouldn't want to be in that room after they've been in there. We don't tell them anything. We just send them to the holding room. A new reality is going to be created for these folks this morning. Now, we're going to treat these people negatively on the basis of the color of their eyes. And the reason I use eyes is because eye color is caused by the same chemical that skin color is caused by. If you have lots and lots of melanin in your hair, your skin and your eyes, you have very dark hair, dark skin, and dark eyes. If you have only a little melanin in your hair, your skin, and your eyes, you have light skin, light hair, and light eyes. Now, having light skin, the first people on this earth, the first modern human beings on this earth, evolved near the equator in sub-Saharan Africa in about 280,000 years ago. They needed lots and lots of melanin to protect their cells from the rays of the sun. That's what melanin does for you. As people migrated farther and farther north, their bodies were exposed to less and less sunlight, so their bodies produced less and less melanin. So people in northern climates have much less melanin in their skin, their hair, and their eyes than people in southern climates did who evolved at that time. Now, folks, as people's hair and skin got lighter, it didn't have a bad effect on their brains. But as their eyes got lighter, it allowed more and more light to enter their eyes, pierce their brain cells, and damage their brains. And that's why blue-eyed people aren't as smart as brown-eyed people. Make sense to you? Why are you laughing? It's ridiculous, isn't it? People, it is no more ridiculous to make that statement about eye color than it is to make the statements that we traditionally have made about skin color. If it makes good sense to judge people by the amount of melanin in their skin, then it makes equally good sense, more good sense, to judge them by the amount of melanin in their eyes. And that's what we're going to do this morning. All we're going to do is spend about 2.5 hours treating these people negatively on the basis of a physical characteristic over which they have no control. Now, they aren't going to like this. If you do your job right, they aren't going to like this. Is that going to make me happy? Yes, yes, because I want them to be uncomfortable, and I want you to help them to be uncomfortable.
Keep the noise down. Keep the noise down. I'm not playing. Everybody keep the noise down. And whoever messed with the door, leave it alone.
It was them.
Who was it? Keep the noise down.
I think we should sing We Shall Overcome. Does anyone know?
Okay, what actor should we know you guys with?
You see what this badge says? I'm not an actor. Okay. Keep the noise down in here.
It's a legitimate.
Blue-eyed people aren't as smart as brown-eyed people. I can prove that to you by giving you and them the Dove Counterbalance Intelligence Test. Now, this is an intelligence test that was developed by a black male a number of years ago, and the purpose of this test is to give white folks the opportunity to find out how it feels to take a test about which you know virtually nothing and have your IQ based on your ability to pass a test about which you know nothing, that you have learned nothing about. We do this with people of color and with immigrants in this country all the time. And we base our judgment of their IQs on their ability to respond to items about which they haven't learned. The blue-eyed people aren't going to know many of these answers because they aren't very intelligent, because they haven't had to learn about people who are different from themselves, because they have only had to learn about white culture. This is a test that is based on the black culture of a number of years ago in this country. These blue-eyed people won't know many of these answers because they aren't smart, they aren't caring, they aren't curious, they don't feel that they have to learn about those who are different from themselves. That's the way they are. You people, you brown-eyed people, are going to know at least half of these answers because you are smart and you are caring and you are curious about those who are different from yourselves, and you've learned a whole lot about those who are different from yourselves, and I'm going to give you the even-numbered responses. Now, this is not cheating, people. This is called reinforcing our position of power in this room. Everybody understand that? We do this all the time in the public, private, and parochial schools in this country. It is one of the ways we teach people who the superior people are. We give culturally biased tests on a daily basis in this country. Make no mistake about that. We use culturally biased textbooks. We have culturally biased pictures on the wall. We teach a culturally biased history. Our maps are culturally biased. And they are culturally biased in favor of white people. Make no mistake about this, people. It's what we do. I know how to do it. I've been doing it as a public school teacher for 25 years. I know how to teach cultural bias, and I know how to teach racism. All you have to do is use most of the textbooks that are available in schools today. Now, I'm going to give you the even-numbered answers to this test. I want you to circle the letter of the correct response. For number 2, circle letter E. Number 4, circle C. Number 6, D as in dog. Number 8, C. 18C, 20C, 22B, as in Bluey. Okay? Now, people, when you take this test, put an answer on every line on the left side of this page. Put an answer on every line. Don't just leave those answers circled. Because if you do that, they'll look over at your test and they'll say, see, you cheated. Now, we aren't cheating. We are simply reinforcing our power. Has nothing to do with cheating. It's just the way society is. Put your paper underneath your pad. When you take the test, move your chairs back so that they can't see your answers. Because if they can see your answers, what will they do?
Cheat.
They'll copy them because that's the way they are. You just have to realize that. Now, we're doing this for their own good. We expect them to be grateful. The rules for the day are going to be that you will not look at these people unless you can either frown or sneer at them. It's all right to laugh at them, but do not laugh with them. How many of you have friends in the blue-eyed group? Let me put it this way. How many of you used to have friends in the blue-eyed group? Now, some of these people are going to leave here very, very angry. Make no mistake about this. That is their choice. When they leave here and they say they're angry, you need to be prepared to say to them, wait a minute. You had it for 2.5 hours. Your home wasn't threatened. Your family wasn't threatened. Your job wasn't threatened. Your income wasn't threatened. Your future wasn't threatened. And you had it for 2.5 hours, and you knew it was temporary. You knew it was going to be over at least by 6 o'clock this afternoon. Why are you so angry? And if you are so angry after 2.5 hours, can you apply that the way you feel about that anger to what it must feel like to live with this for a lifetime? In order for this exercise to work, it takes your cooperation. Now, how many of you are going to cooperate with this exercise? Raise your hand if you're going to cooperate. Why are you so slow at getting your hand up?
Because it sounds like rude behavior, and I would normally not, I would go out of my way not to be rude, so I will have to try to do this.
Do you normally go out of your way to prevent other people from exhibiting these kinds of behaviors toward people of color and people with disabilities and gays and lesbians and...
Go out of my way to prevent that treatment? 50-50. I mean, yes and no. Yes, sometimes they do.
Is that good enough?
Sometimes.
No. People, the only thing necessary for the perpetuation of evil is for good people to do nothing. And for the most part, we white folks do nothing so that we can say, well, we didn't do it. We aren't responsible. As long as we do nothing, it is like giving our approval for those who are going to do the negative things. It is not enough to do nothing. I got the idea for the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise from reading about what the Nazis did during what has come to be called the Holocaust. Hitler was going to found a nation of people, of Aryan people, who were going to be blue-eyed and blonde-haired and fair-skinned, and they were going to rule the world. And one of the ways they decided who went into the gas chamber during the Holocaust was eye color. I decided on the day after Martin Luther King was killed that I would do what Hitler did. I knew it worked for him. I thought it might work for me. I decided that I would pick out a group of people on the basis of a physical characteristic over which they have no control, and I decided that it would be eye color. I didn't know for sure that that had really happened. I had read about it, I had heard about it, and I had seen movies about it, but I wasn't sure until I read the book Mengele and also the book The Nazi Doctors and realized that, yes, indeed, this was true. And in the book Mengele, which I have here and which is one of the really scary books I've ever read, it talks about him doing these experiments without benefit of anesthetic, either chemically or surgically, on people of all ages to find a way to change people's eye color from brown to blue. So that they went, when they found a brilliant brown-eyed Jewish person, they could put that, change that person's eye color and so make that person a member of the master race. Now, this was in one of the most civilized societies on earth. Some of the greatest philosophers the world has ever known came out of Germany. And here, this man with this intelligence taught us all that if you have enough brains and enough power, you can kill other people who have a lot of brains who have no power, and you can do it on the basis of a physical characteristic over which they have no control, or religious belief with which you disagree. That's a scary, scary thought. It has happened before. It will happen again unless well-meaning people read things like this and realize that this wasn't a monster. This was a man who was doing what he thought was right and had the power to do it. This is an interesting book. Here's another interesting book called The Nazi Doctors that tell you exactly what it took to get people of intelligence and education to go along. It's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. And the terrifying part of it was that, in fact, ultimately, it was so easy to get them to go along. Intimidation works.
So what's going to happen for the rest of the day?
I mean, we're really not afraid of anything happening to us.
We know realistically nothing is going to happen to us if we walk out the door. But we can still play the game.
Play gym.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We want coffee. We want air.
Air would be good. Air would be
good. There's nothing that says we can't have that. We've just been passively sitting here because we're good people and they ask us to.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to call these females girl, honey, sweetie, baby, chick, darling. What are we going to call these males?
Boy.
Boy. Boy. And you don't say boy. You say boy. When it's properly said, it's a two-syllable word. Boy. And we use boy to keep black males in their place on a daily basis. All we have to do to lower someone to the age of 5 to 12 is call him a boy. And we do it to accomplish black males over the age of 70. And we get away with it. Now, for 2.5 hours, we are going to make these people look inferior and feel inferior. How many of you think these white folks can take this? Now, people, think about what you've just admitted. You've just admitted that you think that adult, sophisticated, educated, white men in positions of some power, and in a couple of cases, I think, real power, can't stand for 2.5 hours what you expect the child of color to live with from the moment he or she is born. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that these white people can't stand 2.5 hours of being treated verbally the way they treat other people for a lifetime? Because if you do, you've just admitted something extremely interesting. You have just said that people of color are stronger than white folks. That we have created a situation in this country in which we have built tremendous strengths into people of color, and in which we have not built those same tremendous character strengths into white folks, particularly white males. Does that bother you at all?
It's called survival.
It's called survival. Absolutely. It's a survival skill. Bear in mind that these people are in their child ego state, and that's where they're going to stay, because people are easiest to control when they're in their child ego state. So these people are being treated like children, and they're going to act like children, and it's what we do with females in this country every day. We treat them like children, and when they act like children, we say, see, you're acting like that because you're female. Now, people, if you are tempted to look at one of these people and wink at them to let them know, without me catching you, that you really don't mean any of this, I'll change your eye color so fast it'll make your head swim. So just let me catch you looking at your tall white friend here. Just let me catch you doing that, friend. Let me see
we'll
your
join
eyes.
Them quick, huh?
You'll join them quick. You'll right away. You want to be with them? Okay, Brownie, you're going to be a Bluey. It will not make you comfortable. Do not give these people any kind of reinforcement, people. Do not smile at them. Do not look. If you're sad for them, don't let them see it. And some of you are going to be sad for them. You look like you're sad for them already, and we haven't started yet. You aren't sad for them?
Good.
Not at all. Good for you. That's the right attitude.
I just don't want to be one.
Now, people, all I'm asking you to do is act white. That's all I'm asking you. Just act white. You white people know how to act white. You've been doing it all your lives.
Do people of color know how to act white? The way to get ahead in this society, if you're a person of color, is to act as white as you possibly can. Now, am I exaggerating here? Is that the message that this society sends?
Assimilate.
Assimilate really means act white. Assimilate means be as similar to the power group as you possibly can be, which means act white. And you can turn intelligent, bright, committed, conscientious, ambitious people into people who act lazy and slovenly and stupid and slow and unmotivated. And you can do it in 15 to 20 minutes, and that's what you're going to do this morning. Luther King was killed on April 4th, 1968. I was teaching third grade in an all-white, all-Christian community. I needed to explain the death of Martin Luther King to my students. I didn't know how to do it, except by allowing them to walk in the shoes of a child of color for a day. The first time I did it, no one knew until my students wrote essays about it, and those were published in the paper. And then the Johnny Carson Show called and asked me if I would come in and do the Johnny Carson Show. Then people in the community found out about it. Then all kinds of unpleasant things happened. I got vicious calls in the night. We got, probably between 500 and 600 letters, a third of them so ugly and so obscene that I couldn't share them with my third graders. In that fall, when people came to register their children for school, their offspring for school, 20% of those who had children coming into third grade said to the principal, "Don't put my kid in Elliot's classroom." Every year after that, the same thing happened, only sometimes parents would call in and say, "I don't want my kid in that nigger lover's classroom." And the principal never had to say, "Which nigger lover do you mean?" Because we all knew there was only one. My children were beaten and spit on, my own offspring. We have four children. They were abused by their peers, by their teachers, by the parents of their peers. My parents lost their business. My father died totally isolated 3 years ago in the community in which his great-grandfather was one of the first settlers, isolated because he had raised the town's nigger lover. I've learned a whole lot about racism. Do you trust that bully?
No.
I wouldn't trust that bully, but you can if you want to. Now, I want those collars on the outside of your coat collar or dress collar or blouse collar or shirt collar or whatever it is you're wearing. And I want the collars taken good care of at all times, and I want the pin under your chin. Put the tag of her dress in, will you? That's so she got half dressed this morning. Now, people, before you can't arrange that properly?
I guess not.
Fix it. Get the sunglasses off your head. Put them in your purse with the rest of your junk. Should we have to tell her that?
No.
Why do we have to tell her that? They're slow. They're unmotivated. They're lazy. Mm-hmm. They're disinterested. Now, do you have any physical problems that will be made worse by sitting on the floor for an extended period of time?
Doubt it.
Don't give me "I doubt it." Yes or no? No back problems, no hip problems, no leg problems. No heart problems, no high pressure, high blood pressure, nothing like that. How about you? How about you?
No.
You?
Do you care?
No, but I have to know, because if something happens during this, you're liable to file a lawsuit. So I want to know, going into it, whether or not you have any problems. I don't want them made worse, because I don't want to have to take a lawsuit out of this. Do you understand that?
No.
Now, you don't understand that? Well, your low IQ is another one of the problems I'm going to have to deal with today. Now, do you have any physical problems that will be made worse by sitting on the floor for an extended period of time? Yes or no?
I'll say no.
He's going to say no. Does that mean he doesn't have, or does that mean he's going to say no now, and later he's going to accuse me of having made him worse?
Trust him.
Can I trust this boy?
No.
Is he playing games?
Yes.
Am I going to put up with him?
No.
Do you have any physical problems that will be made worse by sitting on the floor for an extended period of time? Yes or no?
Do you or do you not?
You don't care.
Honey.
Typical.
Honey, if you want caring, go to your mother. Do I look like your mother to you?
She's dead.
Then go to some other nurturing female in your environment. That is not what I am about. Do you have any physical problems that will be made worse by sitting on the floor for an extended period of time? What is difficult about answering that?
There's no sense in it if you don't care.
The purpose of this is to find out whether you are going to be in worse shape physically after this is over as a result of sitting on the floor. I don't want you to be. I care because I don't want you suing me. So there, I care. Now,
that's what I want to do.
I care. Do you or do you not?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Whoa.
Thanks for caring.
Whoa. Friend, I don't care about you. You need to understand that I don't care about you. I care about me.
Then you need to realize maybe I lied to you.
I care about me. If you lied to me, we have it on tape that you said no.
And I
so now, if you, so now
you
if you try to sue us, forget it.
And
I care about the repercussions for my sake, not for your own. Understand that.
But I care about you.
Oh, good, good. Then don't make me spend my precious time messing with you anymore.
Okay, that's your
choice. All right, all right.
Yeah.
Yes. Turn around and face the front of the room. Turn around and face the front of the room. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm going to see how far I can push this woman. I'll tell you how far you can push me. You can push me this far, and you've pushed enough already. You either turn around and face the front of the room, or you leave. You're going to follow my rules, or you're out of here. Turn around and face the front of the room. Once again, do we care?
No.
Do some people like being treated like babies? Yes. Do we have to take care of them?
Yes.
Do we have to see to it that they're sitting in the right place?
Yes.
Do we have to see to it that they're facing the right direction?
Yes.
Why do we have to do that?
Most of them are stupid.
Because most of them are stupid, and where do they spend most of their time? In what ego state? Their child ego state. Have we seen examples of people spending time in their child ego state already this morning?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. This boy wants to know that you care. Should it matter to him one tinker's damn whether I care?
No.
Does it really matter to him?
No.
But does he want me to force me to care about him?
Yes.
Can he do that by behaving the way he did?
No.
No, people, that is not the way it's done. And women know that's not the way it's done. Now, when people act the way this one just did, he is in his child ego state. He has gone to the age of about 7. I want it my way, and I want it now. I don't have to do it unless you care about me. Now, I'm going to teach you the listening skills. Since you have already indicated that you have difficulty remembering things, I'm going to ask you to write these things down. Take out a piece of paper and a pencil. Write exactly what I say, exactly as I say it. Number one, good listeners have quiet hands, feet, and mouths. Write it down quickly before you forget it. Write it right now. Good listeners, and what does yours say?
Good listeners have quiet hands, feet, and mouths.
How many commas do you have in that sentence?
None.
Why?
I was writing fast and I left the commas out.
Give me your paper. How many commas do you have in your sentence?
I have none.
Why?
Because I heard you say none.
He heard me say none. Oh, sweet Jesus. But you don't. Well, now, Sonny, you have a period on there, don't you?
Yes.
Did you hear me say period?
I did hear you in the sentence.
Oh, you did hear me in the sentence, but you didn't hear me in the sentence say commas. Is your reasoning a little strange here?
You're right.
Yes. Are you looking for excuses for failure?
No.
Yes. And are you trying to blame your failure on me?
No,
yes.
I'm blaming it on myself.
And blame it on yourself. Now get some commas in there. Do you need a comma after quiet?
Well, it's going to matter. No, I don't.
No. Is that a mistake too?
Yes. Made a mistake.
Have you made several so far this morning?
Yes. I'll make more.
What was the first one you made? Coming to the workshop. Big mistake. Now, where are you gonna put your commas?
After hands, feet, and a period after mouth.
Good for you. What about you, dummy?
How do you spell quiet?
Not like that.
How do you spell quiet? Spell it out loud for me, right here, as you have it, right
Q-U-I-T-E.
Here. Q-U-I-T-E. Q-U-I-T-E. That's quite good, isn't it? It's not quite quiet, is it?
That's right.
How do you spell quiet, ordinarily?
Q-U-I-E-T.
Q-U-I-E-T. Why did you spell it this way today?
Because it's writing fast.
Because you were writing fast? When you write fast, you don't think as well, right?
That's absolutely right.
Then I hope you drive slowly on the way home.
I will.
Cross it out and get it right. Remember, it does not rhyme with right. There we go.
Ma'am,
now, the second.
May I ask a question?
Good listener. I was just talking, and you interrupted me and started to talk. You're a real poor case, aren't you?
Well, I was going to ask a question.
What's your question?
I was going to say if I could have my paper and pencil back so that I could take them and get to my adult state.
Now, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Every time I look at you, you're sitting there with that sick smirk on your face. If you can't look up without smiling, the next time I see that smile, I'm going to come down on you real, real hard. Okay? You're going to feel like a cow pat on a hot rock. So if I were you, if you can't hide your smile, drop your head so I don't have to see it. Just look down when I'm coming towards you so I don't have to see that smile. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
If you have a nervous twitch and you can't help smiling, put your face down so that I can't see you doing it because I take exception to it, and that's not good for you. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Yes. If you're going to get through this workshop, you are going to live down to my expectations of you. Because if you don't live down to my expectations of you, we're going to call you an uppity bluey. And we're going to ride your tail until you do live down to our expectations of us. How do I know how to do this?
By your observations.
Of what?
Of what happens in society.
That's right. That's right. We, in the power position in society, know how to keep people in their place by lowering our expectations for them, and by forcing them to live down to our expectations of them, and we do it by such ways as when President Reagan signed the decree establishing Martin Luther King's birthday as a national holiday. As he signed the decree, someone said, Mr. Reagan, he signed it in front of the press, was Martin Luther King a communist? And he threw down the pencil and he said, well, we'll know in 30 years, won't we? Mm-hmm. So you see, you hold out the rose with one hand and you yank it back with the other. Mm-hmm. We'll give you this day, but we don't really want to. And that was on network television. Everybody saw it. Did that send a message to the black community?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did it send a message to the white community?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. What message did it send to the white community?
We'll keep them quiet.
We'll keep them in their place. We'll go along with this because there's something to be gained for us by it, but not because we really honor the man, but because we want to cool things down. Does that bother you at all?
Yes.
Did you think about that when he did it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about it differently now? Now, why do you want this paper and pencil?
So that I can remember the things that you say.
Because you don't trust yourself to remember them,
exactly.
Do you?
No.
Now, did I teach him something?
Yes.
Yes. Was it a valuable lesson?
Yes, very much.
No, it wasn't. No, that isn't. That is not a valuable lesson to teach people to submit to tyranny. Get real. That is not a valuable lesson. That is a dastardly lesson, and you need to realize it. You need to realize that what I just did to him today, Newt Gingrich is doing to you all the time by saying people who think like him are normal and other people are not. And you're going along with that. You are submitting to tyranny in order to be called normal, for God's sake. You'd be better off to be called subnormal. I didn't just teach him a valuable lesson. I taught him to go along to get along. I taught him to submit to oppression. I taught him the same lesson that we teach females and people of color and those who are other than Christian and gays and lesbians and all those who are physically different all day, every day. And he's going along because he's going to be more comfortable if he goes along. Is there any way he can win?
No.
Did he win just now?
No.
He thought he did for a minute, didn't he? And you all thought he did for a minute, didn't you?
No, we don't.
The second listening skill is, good listeners keep their eyes, what are you doing? Good listeners keep their eyes on the person who is speaking. Write it quickly before you forget it. Good listeners keep their eyes on the person who is speaking. Good listeners keep their eyes on the person who is speaking. What are you doing? You have it written?
No.
Why not?
Because my hands are still quiet from the first skill.
Didn't I say write it down?
Yeah.
Write it down.
And violate the first one.
Write it down. I said write it down. Do it. Do it now. What are you waiting for? Now I'm going to warn you about something. In case you don't recognize it, I'm messing with your mind. Now, I told him to conform, and then I said it was stupid to conform. So then you decided that you wouldn't conform. So now you're in trouble. Now, what did you better do?
You never know what to do.
That's right. That's right. Just the minute you think you've caught on to the rule, what did I do?
You changed the
rules. I changed the rules, people. Am I good?
You're good.
Am I good? Do I know how to do this?
Absolutely.
I'm a white female. I learned how to do this at my mother's knee. I know exactly how to do this. I can turn you every which way but loose. And there ain't no way you can win. And we can do this outside this room. Our society does this on a daily basis. We build people up and then we tear them down. We're doing it with Colin Powell right now. We're going to build that boy up, and that's what we're calling him, that boy. We're going to build him up, and then if he gets anywhere near where he wants to go, where he doesn't really want to go, but we're flattering him into going there. And about the time we get him up there, what are we going to do? We're going to kick the blocks out and let him slide right down that slippery slope, unless I'm very much mistaken. Because do you really think that this country is prepared to vote in a black president?
No way. Oh, boy, what a
joke. Are you think this country is prepared to vote in a female vice president?
No.
Right. No. This town calls itself the City of Beautiful Maples, and these are all hard maple trees lining both sides of most of the streets in town. In 2 weeks, they will all be these gorgeous yellow and orange and red and gold colors, and people will come from miles around to see the color in our trees. And this city is just so proud of that wonderful, wonderful color in these trees. But they do not want people of color to come and reside in this community. We love color in our trees. We do not want it in our skin. And it breaks my heart because it is so, because this is a beautiful little community, and they're very proud of their feelings for one another, the size of their churches. Their churches are full every Sunday, and every Saturday night. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to raise children. As long as you don't want to raise children of color here. It's heartbreaking. The first time I did this exercise in 1968, my parents sold 42 lunches in their little hotel lunchroom in Riceville. The day after it was shown, they sold two. They never sold more than that again. That was the end of their business. Their business was killed by what I do. Somebody has said good deeds won't go long unpunished. I found out how very true that is. I learned a lot about racism in a short time. And it wouldn't have bothered me as much if I had been the only one they exposed to that kind of behavior. But nobody confronted me in all those years to this day. No one other than my peers one time have confronted me. But they got at me through my children and my parents. And I find that very, very difficult to forgive. The Jews have a saying, they say that you have the right to forgive others for what they do to you. You do not have the right to forgive them for what they do to others. I can't forgive them for what they did to my children. My children have to do that.
See, in retrospect, I know that I could have made life easier for my parents. Could have made life easier for my father. Could have made my life easier for my husband and for my children. And it took me a long time to get over the feeling that I had done something wrong. I wish it hadn't been that way for my parents. But I could not change people in Riceville in their attitudes toward them. I wish it hadn't been that way for my offspring. But I couldn't change what people did. I could have stopped doing what I did. But there would have been a whole lot of learning that didn't take place. And there would have been some good things that didn't happen to my offspring. And if I had stopped, it would have been saying to my kids, when things get unpleasant, just stop what you're doing. Just go along to get along. That wasn't the message I wanted to send to them.
It's a new experience for most of you. Perhaps not for this one. But for most of you, it's a new experience to have to just be submissive. Just get your poop in a group and keep your mouth shut. Just do the very best you can so you don't call my anger down on you. Now, this is just for a little time. I think you can do this for a little time. I'm not sure that all of you can. This is going to be a good learning experience for you. Remember that in this situation, you people have no power. Absolutely no power. So quit trying to exercise what you don't have. Quit trying to run the show. You need to decide how big a risk you want to take. Let me tell you something. I will not soon forget the female who looked a lot like you, which is unfortunate for you, in Denver, Colorado, who decided when she came in as a blue-eyed person that she was going to not conform and she wasn't going to go along. And she went up and down the two rows of blue-eyed people saying, come on, brothers and sisters, come with me and defeat the oppressor. Come with me and refuse to go along with this. Do not go along with this. Do not take this abuse. Come on, we can demonstrate and we can make a difference. Made a total fool of herself. The rest of the blue-eyed people felt that there was an opportunity here for her. She didn't want to learn it. She, in effect, was saying to people of color, if you would protest, these things wouldn't happen to you. If you'd do what I'm doing, these things wouldn't happen to you. When people of color have protested in this country, what have we done to them?
Killed them.
But you see, as a white female in that situation, she was in no danger whatsoever. And she could walk up and down that line protesting and demonstrating until hell freeze was over, and she knew that she wasn't going to get put in jail. And there were no dogs, and there were no whips, and there were no fire hoses, and there were no guns in that room. And she had no gas chamber, and she had absolutely nothing to lose. Now, when you have nothing to lose, when you're risk-taking with nothing to lose, that's not a risk.
No.
So what she was doing was absolutely insulting to every person in that room. And I didn't want to touch her, and I didn't want the security people to touch her because that was a corporation, and I didn't want her to sue the corporation. She finally went out. I said, get this woman out of here. She went up and lay down on the floor at the front of the room. I said, all right, folks, here's the way it is. We're going to vote on this. If she stays, I go. Now, I'm going to leave the room, and you participants vote on whether she stays. Now, I was getting paid for being there. This is a risk. She's getting paid nothing. I walked out of the room, and I took all my stuff, and I walked out of the room, and I stood in the hall, and I thought, you dummy. You dummy, what have you just done? You have probably just lost a large account. I stayed out of the room. Pretty soon, here two people came out, one with blue eye and one brown eye, one on each side of her, leading her out of the room. And they voted for her to leave. Why?
She was impeding their process of learning.
She was keeping them from learning, and she wanted to keep them from learning, and she wanted to be the power in that room. Was I going to let her be the power in that room?
Absolutely not.
No. Would that have sent a bad message to every person of color, every gay, every lesbian, every person with a disability, every older person, every person who wasn't blonde in that room? Would that have sent a bad message to them?
Yes.
Absolutely. Was I going to let that happen?
No.
No. Were the rest of them going to let it happen?
No.
No. Who is responsible for them voting what I thought was the right way?
They were.
They were. They were. And this constant arguing only says, I, as a white female, have the power to argue in this situation because I know I'm really not taking a risk at all. I'm simply being seen. I'm simply playing look at me. Third graders play look at me. See me, see how cute I am, see how funny I am, see how I can disrupt the process. That's what she's doing. Therefore, what is her mental state at this point? What is her ego state at this point? She's in her child ego state. Now, you have a choice to make. You can either be in your child ego state, or in your parent ego state, or in your adult ego state. Now, when you're on the floor, it's going to be real hard for you to be in your parent ego state because you're going to have to look up at me. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that you get into your adult ego state real, real fast, like instant.
It's my intent to be an adult.
When are you going to start?
Well, it's my perception that an adult does speak up. But I think your point is well taken, Mother.
In this situation, is it a smart adult thing to speak up?
No.
No. But is it a smart thing for a blue-eyed person to speak up at this point?
No.
No. What does it do every time a blue-eyed person is disruptive at this point?
Makes them all look bad.
Makes them all look bad. Does it reinforce all the negative things we've said about them?
Absolutely.
She's proving all the negative things we've said about them, isn't she? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want her to do that for you? Do you want her to do that for you? No, but you're going to be asleep anyway. Do you want her? You didn't tell me you were taking a tranquilizer. Do you want her to do that for you? Do you want her to do that for you?
No.
Do you want her to do it for you? Do you want her to do it for you? What about you? Oh, yeah, you do, because it shows that she cares, right? It shows that she cares. I'm going to do you a favor. Trade places with him. Now, the second listening skill is, now, I don't want you to talk to him. Oh, I think you're in the wrong place. You trade places with him. Now, the reason I put you back here is, when you're beside her, her behaviors rub off on you, and your behaviors rub off on her, and you support and reinforce one another, and I don't want that to happen. So in order to keep that from happening and keep you from getting into trouble, I put you back here where that won't happen to you. Did I do this to be mean to you?
Probably in your mind, no.
No,
you were helping me.
I am helping you, and how should you feel about that?
I expect you should think I should be grateful.
And are you?
No.
Why not?
Because
you're an ingrate? Because
no.
You like having the support? You are willing to take the support even if it means getting you in trouble?
Yes.
Does this man like to suffer?
He doesn't know any better.
You like to suffer.
He's a martyr.
Does martyrdom appeal to you?
No.
No? Is there any way you can win here?
Not under the present rules, no.
Have you won yet?
Not yet.
Am I going to let you win?
You don't want me to win.
Am I going to let you win? Where's the only place you can win in this situation? Can you win in your mind?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So within me, I can.
Within you, you can win. But will I know that you have won within you?
Yes.
No. I won't. And neither will they. Because we will use everything you do against you. I won't know that you have reinforced yourself inside yourself. But will you know that?
Yes.
Yes. Is that valuable to you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Is that going to be hard for you to keep on doing that while I keep on badgering you?
Yes.
Yes. Are you going to have to keep working and working and working to make that happen? Is that fair?
Every day.
Shit, no, it isn't fair. Did you think this was going to be a fair day?
No.
No. You think what goes on outside here is fair?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Do you spend a whole lot of time outside here holding it in and winning inside yourself, even though society doesn't want you to?
Yes.
Yes. And do you?
Yes.
Where do you think spends more time in that endeavor? You or that man right there?
Probably that man.
Probably that man right
there.
What I'm doing to that man and to you happens to his children, unless I'm mistaken, in the school on a daily basis. Am I mistaken?
All the time.
All the time. And when you watch that happen to your children, and know you'd better maintain a low profile if you want them to get through the school year, what does that do to you?
Tears me up.
Tears you up. What does it make your sons think of you?
It's a difficult situation.
Difficult situation. And who makes that situation difficult?
You know who makes it difficult.
Yeah, I know who makes it difficult. You're damn right I know who makes it difficult. I make it difficult, and people who look like me make it difficult. And do we spend a whole lot of time feeling badly about it?
We talk a lot about it.
If we didn't enjoy it, what would we do?
Stop.
We'd stop doing it. We'd stop doing it. Are you folks on the outside, you brown-eyed people, having a better time here today than they are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes! You have more fun than they are?
Yes.
Have you had fun yet? Why not?
Because I'm a blue-eyed person.
Yeah. And what, as a result of being a blue-eyed person, what is going to happen to you?
Be treated differently.
That's right. And is there anything you can do about it?
Not one thing.
Is there anything you can do to change my behavior?
None.
Absolutely. His tears bother me?
No.
No. His wanting me to care about him bother me?
No.
His embarrassment bother me? No. Does the embarrassment that females suffer in the workplace bother the powerful males in the workplace?
No.
If it did, what would they do about it?
Stay quiet.
Put a stop to it.
Immediately
is what happens to people on reservations, on Native American reservations in this country, bother the people in power in this country?
No.
Not one bit. We are going to increase that pain instead of ending it. Do we care? Do you care? Now, you all could have learned something in the last hour or hour and a half that you've been in here. You could have learned something about how discrimination works, and how it feels to be on the receiving end of it. You could have learned about society and society's rules. You could have learned about how hard it is to be in control when you have no control. You could have learned something about power and the use and misuse of power. And a reality that you have never experienced, I think, before. Most of you, I think, have never experienced the reality that you are experiencing this morning. Have you?
No.
Before this, have you? You have you? You?
Not in this country.
You? You? I like the way you say not in this country. You? Have you? Have you ever experienced anything like this before?
I've experienced discrimination because of being a woman, yes.
Of being a white woman. Do you think the discrimination being visited upon you as a woman is the same as the discrimination that is visited upon her as a woman? Her reality. And your reality in this country, you do not live in the same country that she does. You live in the United States of America, but you do not live in the same country that she does. And neither do I. And neither does she. And she says she has never experienced this kind of treatment in this country. How many of those of you who are brown-eyed have experienced this kind of treatment in this country? The land of the free and the home of the brave, in which you are citizens. Going to interview some students tomorrow, some former students of mine who were in my classroom the third year that I did this exercise. They were in a film called The Eye of the Storm, and We took still photographs of those children each day of that exercise, one when they were on the top and one when they were on the bottom. And I have some of those here. The interesting part about these pictures is you can take a child who's a perfectly happy, normal human being on one day, and by putting a collar on him and telling him he's inferior, you can turn him into a frightened, vulnerable, intimidated, suspicious child who cannot succeed on the day he's in the wrong place. This is like the powerless and the powerful. This is Rex on the day he's on the bottom. You're going to meet Rex tomorrow. This is Rex on the day he's on the top. All of these students that you're seeing now and that are in the film, The Eye of the Storm, are moderately to severely dyslexic. None of them were supposed to finish high school. Rex now has his MA in Elementary Education Administration. You're going to talk to him tomorrow. He is going to be teaching children to make a difference. This is Sandy on the day she was on the bottom. And this is Sandy on the day she was on the top. Sandy's the one who said, when we did our reunion, 5 years after they graduated from high school, I asked Sandy whether having had this exercise when she was in third grade had changed her life at all. She's the one who said, yeah, now when I hear one of those bigoted remarks, I wish I had one of those collars in my pocket. And I could take it out and I could whip it around that person's neck and I could say, now you wear that for 2 weeks and see how you'd like to live that way for a lifetime. Rex is the one who said, I'll have that collar in my pocket for the rest of my life. I can't get that collar out of my pocket. This is how Laurie, you're going to meet Laurie tomorrow. This is how she looked on the day she was on the bottom of this exercise. And this is how she looked on the day she was on the top. Now you think about what, this is just one day in these children's lives. And look at the difference. What if she had to live this way if she expected to live this way for a lifetime? You would soon begin to doubt her intelligence, and so would she. I don't think I had a picture of Milton in there, did I? But this is Milton's. Every day of the exercise, each day of the exercise, the children had to draw themselves as they felt that day. And this is how Milton drew himself. This is the day he was on the top, and they drew these and colored them. And Milton has an eye for drawing like I have only seen in one other child in all the years that I've taught. But because he was dyslexic, he got no respect from the school, and so his life is down. It's just a wash, and it breaks my heart because he's probably the most talented child I have ever seen artistically. But this was all in yellow, and there's an angel on his head on the day he's on the top. On the day he's on the bottom, this is all in black, and there are flames, red flames up in here, and there's a little red devil on top of his head. But if you feel like this when you go to school in the morning, every day, or if you feel like this every morning when you go to school, are you going to do a better job than when you feel like this? See, if you can create a situation in a school or in a society in which 11% of your society feels like this, and the rest of them feel like this, which would you rather feel like? Which part of society would you rather be in? Would you rather be one of the powerful or one of the powerless? And how dare society force people to live this way?
It has been over 20 years now, and it's just looking at these pictures and talking about it is just as if it happened yesterday. It's very much in my mind. I started reading the book again, and it brought back a lot of tears. I remember the things that kids said to each other and how they treated each other, and I mean, best friends were now fighting, and we hated our teacher. Just, we had to draw a picture of her, and I'll never forget that because we all drew like a picture of a devil, and we had to stay in extra for recess. We couldn't like go back for seconds, and some of the kids, you know, we couldn't share our food because, you know, we're dirty people, and we had to use a cup to drink out of because we had to use the same cup all day, otherwise we were wasteful. But I remember her. When she'd said that brown-eyed people were slow and they were dirty and smelly, and you know, I was like, you know, here's this teacher, you loved this teacher, and she's telling you all of these things. It's like, I thought you were my friend, you know, and to go through this, and even though we all knew it was a project that we were doing, once it started, you forgot it was a project, it was such a reality that it's like, I'm really going through this. This isn't funny anymore, it's not a joke. And it, when they had the collar on, you just felt like, you know, that poor little dog outside who wants to go in and nobody will bring him in. But, and then to take him off, you just felt like you'd won the lotto. You know, it was just really good. The exercise has a lot to do with how I feel today. It was just a one-day thing for me, but it has stayed with me all these years. But, you know, a black child has to live with this the rest of their life.
Well, all those who have toll of two right, please stand. You have two right?
Yes.
Who checked your paper? Where are the numbers on this paper?
They're not on there.
Did you know that when you stood?
All I saw was that she said I got two correct, so I was lying.
Did you know you didn't put any numbers on this paper?
Yes.
Yes. Did you know you were wrong when you stood?
No.
Did you hear me say those numbers? Did I say right number three first?
I guess I didn't hear that.
Oh, are these right?
I guess not.
Do you have two right?
I guess not.
How many do you have right?
None.
None. Are you taking credit for something you didn't do?
Evidently.
And are you going to blame her for checking it wrong?
No.
No. Who's at fault for your standing when you don't belong there?
I am.
Put a zero at the top of that page and cross out the two.
Okay.
Will all those who have a total of one right please stand? You thought I said one night stand, didn't you? Show me your paper. You want to check yours to be sure it's right before I look at it? Well, that is right. You did get one right. You're 25% right.
Seventy-five percent
wrong. You're right. I keep forgetting. What's the third listening skill supposed to say? Yeah, remember, what's the third listening skill supposed to say?
Third listeners listen from the beginning to the very end.
Is that what yours says?
No, I left out Barry.
Sure left out Barry, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You have one right here?
And I should have zero correct there.
That's right. Do you have one right here?
Yes, I do.
Is there one right?
No, there is not.
No. Should you be standing?
No, I should not.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to sit down and change that to zero.
Good idea. So two of these people got one right. None of them got them all right. This is too hard for blue-eyed people? Mm-hmm. This is a lot of work for blue-eyed people to learn four simple sentences and then have to respond to them in a few minutes. Now, what stress are you suffering from at this point?
You're changing the rules. You're
changing the rules?
Your tone of voice is talking down to people. You are setting it up so that making people feel dumb, like if Mark makes a mistake, that's bad as opposed to good. You're standing over some people.
And that's stressful to you?
I think to this group, yes, and to me.
That's stressful to you?
Yes. Yes. And also going too fast. And
going too fast?
Yeah.
Anything else that's stressful to you?
Those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones. Those are big ones for her.
That's nothing. Compare that to me and my wife in Independence, right close to where she lived, getting told to walk away from a house that we couldn't rent because it's occupied, and we drive around a block and come back and see a white couple going in there. Right here.
You don't
know stress.
Would you consider that more stressful?
I don't even consider that stress. I consider that just devastating.
Were you devastated by it?
I tried to explain it to my wife and stop her from crying. There was no explanation that worked.
No. What's big time stress to you? If you don't mind telling.
Every morning when I get up and go in my bathroom and look in my mirror, that's when my stress begins. Because I go to a school where I am one of two black teachers.
Out of how many teachers?
60.
Two black teachers
two.
In a school with 60 teachers. And you're one of the two?
One of the two. That's stress.
And are you treated differently on the basis of how you look in the mirror when you get up in the morning?
Sure I am.
And you know it's happening?
Sure I do.
And you recognize it?
Yes, I do.
And you can identify it?
Sure I can.
And if you describe it to your white peers, what do they say?
Oh, Linda, please. That's not happening. It couldn't be happening.
What about you? Is this big time stress for you, as far as you're concerned?
No.
No. Do you get stressed like this?
Yes.
Do you have to perform in spite of it?
Yes, I do.
You have to do your job whether the stress is there or not.
Right.
If you give in to the stress, what do you have to give up?
My job.
Your job. This look a lot like a lot of stress to you?
Very much so.
It does?
Yes.
You think these people are stressed a lot?
Well, they're stressed, but not what we go through.
Okay, so is this big time stress compared to what you see?
Very little.
What about you?
It's like a game.
Yeah, looks like a game. Yes. Does it feel like a game to you?
No.
No. Does it feel like a game to you? You playing a game? Are you playing a game?
No.
Are you playing a game? Did you come in here prepared for a game? Did you think this might be a game? Did you think this is going to be a pleasant little day off work or spend your Saturday this way? Does this feel like a game to you?
Quite a bit different.
Quite a bit different. Why?
Because we're on the spot rather than coming and changing roles and
that's right.
The moment out.
Now, let me make something perfectly clear here. We are not going to reverse this today. Yesterday, I heard a couple of women say, well, I kept quiet because I thought she was going to reverse it and then she'd use what we said against us. I had no intention of reversing this because if I reversed this, it would no longer be reality. That would be like saying to people of color, after we white folks have been on top for a while, then we're going to turn the tables and you're going to get your chance. See, if it's a game, then everybody has the opportunity to win. In this situation, and in society at large, not everybody has the opportunity to win. We do not have freedom and justice for all. We have freedom and justice for some, but not for all. This is not a game, because not everybody in this room is going to have the opportunity to win. You're never going to win, Maggie, if you keep writing while I'm talking. This is not a game. And are you role-playing?
Hey.
Yeah.
In a sense.
In a sense, you are? Your memory is bad because you're pretending it's bad? Are you having trouble remembering things?
No.
Are you having trouble getting things right?
Yes, of course.
Yes? Why?
Because the deck is stacked against
you. Because the deck is stacked against you. So no amount of pretending is going to get you to pretend that you've got those written correctly, is it?
Right. Correct.
Correct. So the role playing, hey, forget that. It's like Shelby Steele saying, as a black man, I have transcended race. Mm-hmm. Now, in your heart of hearts, all you people know that I'm lying to you about blue eyes. There's nothing wrong with having eyes of a color other than brown. And you know I'm wrong. Does that give you any satisfaction whatsoever? To know that I'm wrong. Is that making it all easier for you to go through this? No. You can transcend your eye color. Can you transcend my behaviors on the basis of your eye color? No. Can you transcend my eyeism? No. Can you change what is happening in here to you because you know that I'm wrong? No. All you can do is sit there and take it. Tell me what stress is. Now, wait a minute. He volunteered to tell me what stress is. I do not ask people of color to bleed all over the floor for white folks. I don't do that. You want to tell us?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us.
Stress is knowing that when you send a son or a daughter to school, that they have to start learning how to be the best. And no matter what they say or what they do, it's never good enough. I'm always going to find something wrong with you, to the point of where I'm going to make you so frustrated that you get into a situation where you become unstable and you can't be taught. So now you have to go over here. Now we have to test you. And we're going to tell you what's wrong with your child. We're going to make him a statistic. We're going to keep him in the background. OK?
continuously. And you have to day in and day out keep talking to him. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And he continues to come home hurt, sometimes in fights. And you have to continue to keep doing it over and over and over. And the sad thing about it is that we waste so much time in trying to keep the self-esteem up that we lose the time that he could be learning. And they know that. Now that's what stress is.
Os brancos enfrentassem situações vividas pelos negros no dia a dia, ela consegue produzir neles o sentimento de serem discriminados, provocando as mais surpreendentes reações. Semana Rebeldes com Causa, o olhar indignado de Jamie Elliott. Amanhã, 11h20 da noite, no GN.
Just that one time, and you guys were sitting in the car.
A long time ago.
I haven't seen you since.
Oh, you gotta take your kids and turn them loose at our house. That's the fun.
You're gonna do it again.
I got the third one now, so I can be more.
Yes, so now we can have more fun. Oh my gosh, you all look so good. Oh, where's Lori? Working, they said.
Perhaps so.
Ah, shoot. Well, so be it. Oh, I have something for you. I have something for you. See this? This is Blue Eyes Ward Off Evil. Hey, I need all the help I can get, right? So I brought you each one.
Oh, neat.
Let's see, these come from Saudi Arabia, by way of Sarah through Saudi Arabia. So when you wear them, think of Sarah in Saudi Arabia, where men are men and the women laugh at them.
People today by the color of their eyes. Would you like to try this?
Yeah!
Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Since I'm the teacher and I have blue eyes, I think maybe the blue-eyed people should be on top the first day. I mean, the blue-eyed people are the better people in this room. Oh, yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Blue-eyed people are smarter than brown-eyed people. They are cleaner than brown-eyed people. And if you don't believe it, look at Brian. The brown-eyed people do not get to use the drinking fountain. You'll have to use the paper cups. You brown-eyed people are not to play with the blue-eyed people on the playground because you are not as good as blue-eyed people. Well, the brown-eyed people in this room today are going to wear collars so that we can tell from a distance what color your eyes are.
And it seemed like when we were down on the bottom, everything bad was happening to us. It seemed like Mrs. Elliott was taking our best friends away from us.
What happened at recess? Were two of you boys fighting?
Yeah. Russell called me names and I hit him in the gut.
What did he call you?
Brown eyes.
What's wrong with being called brown eyes?
It means that we're stupider than the one out there.
Oh, that's just the same way as other people calling black people niggers.
Is that the reason you hit him, John? Did it help? Did it stop him?
The first reaction I get from teachers who see this film or from hear me discuss what I do, say to me, how can you do that to these little children? How can you put those little children through that exercise for a day? and they seem unable to relate the sympathy that they're feeling for these little white children for a day to what happens to children of color in this society for a lifetime, or to the fact that they are doing this to children based on skin color every day, and I'm only doing this as an exercise that every child knows is an exercise, and every child knows is going to end at the end of the day.
Let's take these collars off. Yes. What would you like to do with them?
Throw them away.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Eat them,
Mrs. Ellen. Should eat them.
Don't eat them, like great.
This older woman in the middle of this group stood up and said, Mrs. Elliott, I came here to tell you how much I hate you. I said, okay, well, go ahead. You know, this isn't a new experience. She said, I am Jewish. I was born and raised in Germany. She said, we went to a Jewish school. Every morning when our headmaster came in, we would bow and say, good morning, Herr Headmaster. She said, one morning he came in with two SS troopers. And one of the SS troopers said to us, in the future, you decadent Jews will no longer bow and say, good morning, Herr Headmaster. You will salute and say, Heil Hitler. She said, I watched those of us who valued our life more than our faith salute and say Heil Hitler. She said, those who valued their faith more than life itself continued to bow and say, good morning, Herr Headmaster. She said, they disappeared and we never saw them again, but we know what happened to them. She said, your students are very fortunate. They will never allow to happen in their society what we allowed to happen in ours. They'll see it coming and they'll put a stop to it. Then she said something that frightens me to this day. She said, the atmosphere that you created for your students in your classroom with your blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise reminded me of the atmosphere, the environment that the Nazis created for the Jews in Germany. Now, people of color, particularly blacks, who see the film The Eye of the Storm, which was made in my classroom the third year I did the exercise, say to me when it's over, that's the way I live every day of my life. And that's in what we call the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have created an environment in this country for 11 to 12% of our population in which they feel the way the Jews felt in Nazi Germany. White people say to me, I don't see it that way. Of course they don't see it that way. They don't live it that way. We do not live the same reality in this country. White people do not live as people of color do. Now, I need to know, how did you feel about what you went through this morning? The words that you have written came out of your feelings, right? Nobody else's. Okay, read your three words.
How they looked, frustrated, confused, and angry.
Frustrated, confused, and angry. That's the way they look to you during this exercise. Now, people, listen to these words that these brown-eyed people have written and see how many of them are the words we usually use to describe females. Read yours.
Confused, sad, and some humor.
Sad. Any of you people sad this morning? You looked sad. What were you sad about?
I'm sad because I have to stay on the carpet and I need to get coffee and I need to get donuts.
Valley girl? Like, wow, man. And I'll tell you something else. Yes. I'm going to give you a really valuable piece of advice.
Okay.
Get over cute.
Now,
I'm absolutely serious about this. Get over cute. Because you'll be cute until you're about 45. And then at 45, you won't be cute anymore. You'll just be an old broad. And there'll be a whole bunch of 18 to 40-year-olds there who are cuter than you are. And at that point, you will say, I want that promotion. And somebody will say to you, well, but see, I don't think of you as qualified. I just think of you as cute. And then you're going to howl sexism. Females, get over cute. Get competent. Get trained. Get capable. Get over cute. And those of you who are called Patty and Betty and Susie, get over that. Because we use those names to infantilize females. We keep females in their little girl state by the names we use for them. Get over it. If you want to be taken seriously, get serious. Get over it. Okay, read your three words.
Confused, lonely, and uncomfortable.
Confused, lonely, and uncomfortable. Yours. Ooh, did anybody in here feel lonely during this thing? What do you mean when you say lonely?
Just like they're just...
All alone.
Yeah.
They have no support group.
Right.
Here, all these blue-eyed people are together.
Right.
but there's no support group. And each of them knew there was no support coming, didn't they? Did they catch on to that real fast? You didn't even seem to expect help from one another. Would you have appreciated some defense?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah! Where's Daryl? Don't you say another word until I get my husband in here, because you are so like my neighbor, I can't believe it. Well, yeah! You would have appreciated defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you resent the fact that none of them stuck up for you? Or did you think they've got to cover their own asses?
I figured that they knew that if they tried to come to my defense, that you'd point your guns at them. And so I figured that's the reason that they weren't.
When I was picking on her, why didn't any of you males defend her? Of course, I wouldn't have defended her either. But why didn't any of you defend her? Why didn't you defend her?
It's like if you're picking on her, you're not picking on me. And so by the rules I kind of saw, it's like I'm just going to sit back and lay low.
And let her do it to him. It's what makes racism work, people. It's what makes homophobia work, people. It's what makes sexism work. It's what's going to make ageism work. To sit back and do nothing is to cooperate with the oppressor. As long as you folks did nothing, I was free to do whatever I chose to. Read yours.
Percy, they looked intimidated, confused, and scared.
Scared. Any of you people scared this morning? What were you scared about?
I was, I think the thing that made me most scared was when we talked about the, just doing this for a day, and how it really is a lifetime thing for so many folks.
Why does that scare you?
It scared me. I really got in touch with just the incredible injustice that I'm a part of.
Yeah, yeah.
It really scared me.
Yeah.
I was really aware of my my stomach, and I was really aware once I really allowed myself to begin to really understand and really accept, you know, the full impact of this, you know, it started making me really sick. I just really felt physically sick at the...
Now, you felt sick to your stomach this morning in a 2.5-hour exercise. Could that have anything to do with why so many black males die 9 or 10 or 15 years before white males do, and so many of them have high blood pressure and problems with heart and all kinds of problems that kill them early and have nothing to do with violence? Could having to confront this and deal with it, or not confront it and cope with it all day, every day, for yourself and your wife and your children and your parents and your grandparents, make you sick?
I guess probably the biggest thing is that it's really hard for me to believe that one person can make a difference.
Have I made a difference in you?
Yeah.
How many people do you think I am? At the end of the Second World War, when they cleaned out the concentration camps in Germany, a Lutheran minister said, when they came for the Jews, I wasn't Jewish, so I did nothing. When they came for the homosexuals, I wasn't homosexual, so I did nothing. When they came for the gypsies, I wasn't gypsy, so I did nothing. When they came for me, there was no one left to do anything. Now, think about it. Just think about that.
I still have a dream.
Yes!
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that all men are created equal.
Yes.